Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And they're getting a warning. So immediately, that's going to bring out the manager, Clayton McCullough. He's going to say, what are you talking about? That guy just deliberately threw at my guy. And Alfonso Marquez has got to say, and he's out. He asked the wrong question. Alfonso Marquez, are you kidding me? You're knocking these guys on the other side of the field, hitting them left and right, and you're upset about a guy getting grazed? You're gone. Take a hike.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
That was Mike Kruko after Otto Lopez got hit in the first inning yesterday before the Marlins scored 12 runs and they completed a sweep of the San Francisco Giants. Do we have the highlight of Kyle Stowers' home run? It's a pretty quiet highlight.
I don't think we have it. Yeah. It's in the system.
That's what
it is. It's there.
Well, all I'm saying is, yes, there was a lot of energy towards the opposing manager. And that energy was sapped from the building the moment that Stowers went 453 to straightaway set.
Struck well to center field, and this one's going to go. Gone. And just like that, it's 3-0.
And that was followed by about 30 seconds of silence with, yeah, with Stowers circling the bases. Yeah, no, I mean, we can leave it there. Obviously, we don't see eye to eye on the subject. That's fine. It's okay. To me, getting free base runners is not really a strategy that I'd like to employ. But in general, I think it does leave us at the midway point feeling, I don't know, like, how would you describe how you're feeling about the Giants right now after that series, but also with kind of the bigger picture in mind?
Well, it's tough because if you were to tell me before the season started that 81 games in, they'd be 44-37 and a half game out of a wild card spot, I'd take it. Like, you're 7 games over, you're inches away from a playoff spot. Yeah, I'd take that. But the way in which they've got there and where I'm at in this specific moment leaves me a little frustrated because they could very easily be the first wild card spot. They're playing some of their worst baseball of the entire year. Of late, this 3-game sweep versus the Marlins, and I know they won the series versus the Red Sox, but even what happened in the Guardians series, it was not very clean baseball. I can't even count the number of errors and mistakes the Giants made. The decisions by Matt Williams to send runners sometimes and not send runners the other times, those were head-scratching at best, specifically the Jung-Hoo Lee send on Wednesday night. That made no sense to me at all. The Giants aren't just either not hitting the ball well or not pitching well. They're also doing all the small things poorly. And that's not what this Giants team has to be, even with Devers and even when Chapman comes back. And even if you get Roop continuing to pitch well and Birdsong pitches more like he did in April and May than he has in June and Verlander pitches like he did in May when he was really good in May before he got hurt. Even if all those things start breaking your way again, you're still going to need to play clean baseball. Like, the Giants are not this overpowering offense that's going to score 8 runs a game and win games 8-6. Like, they might every once in a while, But they're still going to have to win games 4-3 and 5-4 and even 3-2 at times. And to do that, you have to take advantage of every situation, and they're not doing that. So, again, if I were to zoom out and you would tell me beginning of the year, 81 games in, they're 44-37, I'd take it. But I'm a little concerned the way that they have gotten to the 37 losses the last, like, week or so.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they're in a pretty good spot. What, they're a half game out of the last wild card.
Yep.
Technically, they're in third place now by a half game because the Padres jumped them. But the first half, I think, puts into perspective how much baseball is left.
Yep.
Like, they've played 81 games, and all of these things have happened.
Yep.
The Giants started 8-1. They started 12-4, and then they went 500 for, like, a month. And then they came out of it after going 16 straight games, not scoring more than 4 runs. And they won 7 in a row, 6 of them by 1 run. And then they got Rafael Devers. And now they're all of a sudden backed into kind of slumping. It's like
3-8 in their last 11.
And we're halfway there. Like, there's so much baseball that's left to be played that I think the first half leaves me feeling like the team's kind of, like, discombobulated, I guess is the word that I would use. Because they feel very all over the place. We think we know what their identity is, and I still think it is 100% reliant on their pitching.
Yep.
But the Devers deal, to me, threw a little bit of a wrench into what we want the Giants to be. Like, I think that Devers makes them legitimate, and obviously the lineup looks a lot more aesthetically pleasing than it did before. It's prettier. But it didn't change how they're going to win games. Like, the reason why over these last 10 games, and 11 if you want to go back one more, that they've been playing poorly, it's because they haven't pitched very well. Like, the last 10 games, their starting pitching has a 4.88 ERA. That's 24th in baseball.
Not good.
They have thrown the 20th amount of innings, which I actually think is one of the big reasons their bullpen was so good, the best in baseball, for the first 71 games of the season. The bullpen also the last 10 games is at a 4.5 ERA, not the 1.9 or 2.1 that it's been for much of this year. They're still the number one ERA in baseball overall. But when your strength is not able to carry you, that's when you fall into a 3-8. That's when you fall into a 3-7. And so, you know, to me, the most concerning part about yesterday was not that Birdsong hit a guy. And it's that over this series, they gave up, like, I want to say, over 35 hits to the Miami Marlins, a team that's not a horrible offense, but definitely not a good one.
24 runs,
and, well, Tyler Rogers has been pitching well, got touched up a little bit a couple nights ago. Doval, granted, not a save situation. He's been your closer, been dominant. He got touched up in extra innings. Rodriguez, over the last couple weeks, hasn't given up runs, but he's been allowing more base runners. Ryan Walker still hasn't been able to really figure it out. The guys that have been carrying you, especially on the back end of their bullpen, are starting to look a little more mortal. And I think a big reason for it is they're not getting as much as they had hoped from their starters.
I think another reason to be particularly concerned about what's going on right now is, I know that, you know, we talk about Chapman and how important he is, and there's no doubt that he is, and he's been out for a couple of weeks now, and there's a chance that he returns as early as this road trip, and it is a long trip. You have 10 games in 10 days in Chicago versus the White Sox for 3, in Arizona for 4, and then in Sacramento versus the A's for 3 over the course of 10 days. And he might be back before this road trip is over, which is good news for sure. And then there's also the Verlander injury. He was out for a month. Beyond that, you haven't really dealt with much of an injury bug at all. And you've had all of your pitchers, for the most part, pitch really, really well. You don't expect Roop to be a 3 ERA for the rest of the year. And Landon Roop could have a great career ahead of him, but you'd expect him to not be as good in the second half as he has been in the first half. We're already seeing that with Birdsong a little bit. Now, is he going to give up 6 runs every outing going forward? No. I think Verlander is also going to be better than he's been the last 2 starts. But overall, what you're talking about there with how good the bullpen has been, partially because the starters have been so good, you don't expect, I think it's impossible to expect them to be as good as a whole in the second half. And you also might expect them to deal with a few more injuries than they have in the first half. That's just the way it happens. As you said, we're 81 games in. And it feels like the Giants have already played like four seasons worth of games because of all the twists and turns and the highs and the lows, the peaks and the valleys of this season. There's a lot that still could happen. And so potentially a reason to be a little worried about the second half is, well, you just have two things that go against you, like a major injury to someone key, and that's the case for everybody. You could be looking at an incredibly steep hill to climb, and the Giants haven't really had to deal with that much at all this year.
No, and it's not like you can't expect the strength of their team to continue to carry them. Like, you're not going to be... You might be the best bullpen in baseball for the entire season, but your numbers might move up a little bit.
Not by the margin that they've been the best bullpen in baseball by.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Their starting pitching was, I think, 18th in baseball for the first 71 games. So they weren't incredible, but they ate a lot of innings. The issue is that's kind of the equation they need to succeed, and I think that's why Posey went out and got Devers. You know, so the three things that I've sort of gleaned from watching their first half of this season is, they are always going to win based on their pitching. I mean, not always, but for the most part. Their pitching is going to lead them however far this season goes. The Devers honeymoon is over. That's something that I just feel like, again, the move to me was as much about the future as it was for the present and creating a core and putting Devers in the middle of that lineup for a long time. But this year, like, if you look at their offense, and again, Chapman hasn't been there, but to me, he's not a crazy injection into this lineup as much as he is a great two-way player. Their offense has been kind of the same. Like, their batting average hasn't been that much different.
Yep.
Their run production hasn't been that much different. Devers hasn't been great up until yesterday, but I just don't think that their offense is all of a sudden going to, in relativity to the rest of the league, going to jump to being a top 15, top 12 offense. Like, they're probably going to have to win games for much of this season with being a bottom third in terms of run scoring.
I agree with you that the path for the Giants still, despite the acquisition of Devers, and even when Chapman comes back, the path is still going to be pitching. You're going to have to lean on your pitching staff, which means you're going to have to, I think as you've illustrated, you're going to have your starters continue to eat a lot of innings. Because... And it's what really, really hurt the Giants in the second half of last year. They did not have starting pitching. So their bullpen was so incredibly overtaxed. And it was still a pretty good bullpen last year, especially early in the year. But once that bullpen is asked to work a certain number of innings, the returns aren't nearly as high. So if you have a starting pitching staff that isn't throwing as many innings, and your bullpen has to cover more of every single game, by the time September or even August comes around, that bullpen isn't going to be nearly as well-prepared and able to carry you through games. So I think the biggest thing for the Giants at this point is going to be their starting pitching. And you can point at, I mean, probably everybody other than Logan Webb, and you're like, there's reason to be a little concerned. I know Robbie Ray has largely been awesome this year, but his last two starts have not been good either. And you don't expect a guy to pitch lights out every single start. So maybe we can look past Robbie Ray. But spots 3, 4, and 5, I think there's Giants fans that have legitimate concerns about all of those spots. And that's not, for this Giants team and this lineup, that is not a winning combination. Worrying about your starters 3, 4, and 5. Like, if that is true, that comes true, that 3, 4, and 5 struggle to some degree, it's going to be difficult for this offense to support that staff enough.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, who play the Chicago Sky tonight at 7 o'clock, by the way. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Yeah, I mean, the thing about them is, it isn't like the best bullpen arms are going to drop off a cliff. Like, I think Rodgers is going to be solid. Rodriguez is going to be good. Duvall is going to be good. Mailer is going to be good. But when your starters aren't throwing as many innings, your bullpen ERA is going to come up, because Bivens has got to throw more. Luke Casey has got to throw more during the middle of games. And I do think that a lot of the, I don't know whether you want to call it magic, fortune, luck, of being able to just come from behind when your starter has a bad start, that stuff is beginning to even out a bit for the Giants too. We know they've played in the most one-run games in baseball. They still have a pretty good record considering, I think, 19 and 15. But not all of those games are going to go your way. And to me, that's why Buster Posey he still has work to do. If he wants this season to end with the playoffs, I'm not even looking towards winning a series, but to get to the playoffs, to get a wild card, because I think it's going to be really hard to catch the Dodgers, he's got to go make a move. And to me, I know that everyone would like a bat. To me, to your point about Verlander, Roop, Birdsong, it's to me, their biggest need right now is actually a starting pitcher. And it's not even necessarily a frontline guy, but if Posey wants to see this to the end and keep his team in it, he's not done.
They did make a roster move this morning. They didn't go out and make a trade, but they did make a roster move. This comes courtesy of our Giants insider, Alex Pavlovich. The Giants have optioned Sean Gelly to AAA. Carson Seymour was recalled. Carson Seymour recalled. One of the many Carsons the Giants have down in AAA. He's a right-handed throwing starting pitcher. At least he has been for the River Cats. 3-8 this year with a 3.89 ERA in 15 starts, 83 strikeouts and 74 innings pitched. But Sean Gelly has been optioned. He has not been pitching well of late, specifically in yesterday's game, and he's got off-the-field issues going on right now as well. But Carson Seymour, 26-year-old right-handed pitcher, has been recalled. And I think this fits in exactly with what we're talking about. Not that necessarily Seymour is going to step into a starting role, but just as a guy that they need to eat innings as a long reliever potentially to help ease the burden on the rest of the bullpen, because Sean Gelly has issues on and off the field right now.
Well, the Justinian Jessup era ended yesterday, and now the Carson Seymour era begins today. So, wait, Pasta, he was involved in the Darren Ruff deal?
Yeah, so in 2022, the Giants traded Darren Ruff to the Mets for J.D. Davis, Thomas Zupacki, Carson Seymour, and Nick Wack.
Nick Wack. Wow. That Darren Ruff trade was crazy because they traded Darren Ruff to the Mets. They got stuff back from the Mets for Darren Ruff.
Yeah.
The Mets then cut or optioned Darren Ruff, and the Giants then signed Darren Ruff back. So they essentially got all those guys for nothing.
That might be the most Farhan move I've ever heard of.
It really is. But Carson Seymour is now a San Francisco Giant.
Okay, well,
he's the savior, Evan.
I don't have a scouting report on Carson Seymour. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Giants still need to go get a starting pitcher.
Yes, they do.
And that's, you know, another part of like the three things, again, that I've gleaned from watching the first half of the season. One, team is still built on pitching. Two, the Devers honeymoon is over for now. And I don't know if they even really had a chance to begin because, unfortunately, they didn't start on the right note. But the Giants will have to dip back into the trading market at some point. Unless they want to see, and this is an option too, if you want to see what you have in your younger guys, I don't know if it's Seymour, but maybe it's Wisenhunt.
The other Carsons. Carson Ragsdale and Carson Wisenhunt.
They got a lot of Carsons
down
there.
Three Carsons.
If you want to see what's going on with the Carsons, if you want to see what's going on perhaps with Eldridge, you might bring them up a little early. But to me, Grandy, if the Giants really want to compete for a wild card, and I think they are in a good position to do so, and to acquire one, honestly, this season can't be about the kids. And to me, that's why the trade market is the avenue that the Giants will have to eventually go back to.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say they make no other major acquisition, and by major, I mean like someone that they bring in to start games, whether it's in the position, like out in the field.
Like,
or
they're not going to find another Devers equivalent.
Yes, but obviously not that, but even to a lesser degree. Like, say they go out and find somebody who's hitting 230 to play second base, right? Like I would even throw that at maybe a little higher than that, hitting 240 to play second base, or they find someone who's going to be in their starting rotation the rest of the year. If they don't make a move of that caliber or anything bigger than that, do you think they're still a postseason team? Do you think that they're probably not a division champion. I don't think many of us feel that way, considering the Dodgers are only going to get healthier and better at this point forward, and you're already 6.5 back. That's not a gigantic number at this stage, but that feels unlikely. But I think generally most people think the Giants would still be a playoff team, even if there's no major move that they make again. And I think I would fall in that camp. If they don't make the postseason without any other big move, I would be disappointed. That would feel like a team that underperformed to me.
I think if Posey doesn't make another deal by the deadline, which is in essentially a month, you're asking for trouble. And you're asking for trouble because over half of your rotation right now are wild cards. Justin Verlander is 42 years old. And while I don't think he's really that focused, honestly, on pitching in June, I think he's trying to prepare his body to be ready in August and September. He has not been the $15 million a year pitcher you acquired. Roop is eventually going to hit an innings limit, and you're eventually going to have to find someone else to eat those innings. And that's my biggest fear, again, is that you have a couple of pitchers. Verlander might be on an IL stint at some point again this season just because he's older. Yeah. It's an injury risk. But you're eventually going to have to fill starts to eat innings. And that's, I think, the biggest reason the Giants got off to such a good start is, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have traded Harrison and Hicks for Devers. That's an obvious deal. But you always had five guys in your rotation that didn't have to just eat innings, that could give you competitive innings and get you to what your real strength is, which is your bullpen, who puts you in a position to win games. Now, halfway through the year, to the second half, it's like I'm looking at this team and I'm saying, Birdsong is going through somewhat of a sophomore slump. That's understandable, but he's been shaky. Roop is eventually going to hit his innings limit. I think the most he's ever thrown is 100.
107 between multiple levels in 2022.
He's getting pretty close.
That's 76 right now.
So are you going to need someone to fill those last 10 starts? Probably. And then Verlander, again, is a little older and inconsistent. So even if you're not worried about Ray, to me, the rest of the rotation, they've been good so far, and that's been impressive. I can't expect that to continue.
Yeah, you want to know, I mean, what's concerning about Birdsong and just in general, the numbers, the last, like, three starts haven't been great. You notice his velo yesterday?
Verlander?
Birdsong.
Well, it's all over the place.
He's normally sitting, like, 96, sometimes even 97. He was down at 93 yesterday. And he was asked about it post-game, you know, any explanation for the drop in velo? And he's like, I don't know.
Saved his best one for Lopez. I think that was 97.
Was it?
Yeah. It's pretty firm.
He was juiced up for that at-bat specifically. But for the most part, he was sitting like 93, 94, which is at least a couple miles an hour slower than usual. And maybe he has an idea. He didn't say publicly. When asked about a postgame, he was like, I don't know.
Yeah, nope. And young guys aren't bulletproof.
He's a little further away from his innings limit. His most career innings was actually last year between three different levels, 130. He's sitting at 56, 57 right now, so he still has a ways to go there. But it's a young arm who hasn't pitched an entire season at the big league level yet, and that's what he's staring at for the first time. So there's also concerns there, I think, with the arm and how long he can last.
Well, and that's why, again, and I realize it's the most recent series, but it's the one that's obviously most present in my mind. Like, the reason why they got swept by the Marlins is neither their pitching nor offense was good enough. And to me, the path for this team to being competitive is going to be more through their arms than their bats. I still think that they're probably a bat or two, I'd lean more towards two, away from being an offense that can win games consistently.
Yeah.
And again, like, you're not going to get the month of May where your starting staff is at a two flat the entire month. So that's why, again, I feel like if nothing is done, and I do think that Posey will do something because already he's shown an interest in aggression, but if nothing is done, that's why you're asking for trouble, because you're going to regress the mean in really the one area you can't afford to. Their pitching cannot afford to take a step back, and to me, that's what we saw in this series. Their bullpen took a step back. Their starters outside of Webb took a step back. And their hitting pretty much performed the exact same it's been all year.
Okay, I'm going to try to find the reason to be hopeful and optimistic going forward, though. Okay, so you've been without Chapman for a couple of weeks now. There is a chance, though, by the end of this road trip, which is a three-city trip, Chicago versus the White Sox starting today, you got Arizona for four, and then you're in Sacramento versus the A's for three. 10-game trip, three in Chicago, four in Arizona, three in Sacramento. By the end of that road trip, there is a very real possibility that Matt Chapman is back and playing third base. Bob Melvin has said as much. End of the road trip is a possibility. Casey Schmidt dealing with that hand wrist injury right now that has not left him on the IL but left him out of yesterday's game. There's a decent chance that by that point he is your starting and everyday second baseman. By the end of the road trip, there's a pretty good chance that Devers is playing first base at that point, which then also allows Wilmer Flores to go back to being the everyday DH, and maybe it's the coincidence, but it does seem like there's a relationship in how well his bat is working and how often he's playing in the field. He's been playing first base a pretty good amount of late, and he's struggling at the plate like he hasn't all season. So if at the end of the road trip, Chapman is back at third, you still have Adames at short, and by the way, he's been hitting the ball a little bit better, 3 hits yesterday, Schmidt at second, Devers at first, Flores back at DH, that begins to feel like a lineup that I think you can rely on a little bit more often. Not necessarily like one that's going to compete with the Dodgers for best offense in the league, not saying that, but that does feel like you're going to get a little more consistency out of that group, and that could come as soon as a week, 8, 9, 10 days from now.
Do you have any concerns about just throwing Devers out at first base?
I mean, I don't expect him to pitch or to feel like Brandon Belt back in those days, but I think he'll do an okay job.
All right, we got to hit a break here. It's something that's crossed my mind, and I do want to dig a little bit deeper into it. Also, of course, we got coming up, we are going to talk about what the Warriors did last night. Selected at 52 and 56, couple of players. And then Dunleavy also had some interesting comments concerning really the biggest domino that has to fall this offseason. And we will get into that moving forward as well. But we are taking your calls at 888-957-9570. Where are you at with the Giants midway through the season? What did you make of that series against the Marlins? Are you feeling like they are less than a seven game above 500 team, or a team that you do believe has another level that they can reach? Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries take on Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky. You can hear that game right here on 95.7 The Game and the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. That segment, sponsored by Safeway.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Matt Steinmetz is going to be back on Tuesdays. Headed back east to see a couple of close friends. Guru is out today. Hanging with the family, had something come down last night, so thoughts out to him. Evan Giddings and Mark Grandier with you until 2 o'clock. Willard Nibb's going to be live on remote today, right?
Yeah, Cache Creek Casino Resort. We ran a contest a couple of weeks ago. A couple of listeners and a partner of their choice get to join them up at Cache Creek for a night at the hotel and whatever you want to do in the casino or around, and then also a round of golf with the guys tomorrow morning. So that's what they're doing today, and then they'll stay overnight and play golf tomorrow.
Sounds like a great time.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it might be a little toasty, though. So if you are one of those lucky people, bring some sunscreen. Little piece of news to hand down on the football front. Earlier this morning, San Francisco 49ers cornerback Diamador Lenore was arrested in Los Angeles. Or pardon me, this was last night on a charge of obstruction of justice.
Oh, no!
Yep. So he was released from jail this morning, scheduled to appear in court next month, but according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, essentially Lenore was approached by LAPD. They observed a gun in the car, and he was with a friend, and the friend tossed the keys to Lenore. The gun was not his, and Lenore refused to give the keys to the police, so that's why he was arrested. So that's not great news for the 49ers, but something that did come down and is absolutely pertinent.
Yeah, so and this is from TMZ.com. They always tend to have these breaking news stories ahead of everybody else. Cops approached Lenore and a man named Marcus Cunningham when they observed the vehicle double parked and blocking traffic, and it was Cunningham's car, and then they noticed the gun in the car, again, not Lenore's, Cunningham's gun in Cunningham's car where Lenore was a passenger. And then as the cops approached the vehicle, Cunningham flipped the keys to Lenore, and when asked, Lenore reportedly refused to give the keys up, which is why he was arrested. So might just be a whole lot of nothing, but definitely not a good thing to happen for the 49ers offseason.
No, especially to their number one cornerback and a guy they just signed to a 5-year, $92 million deal. So especially considering it, I mean, God forbid something happens that relates to football, but you just had a chance to potentially pick up Jair Alexander, who's a good corner, went to the Ravens. So hopefully the Niners are not in a position. They have not released a statement on the matter, the Niners. but hopefully they're not in a position where they're looking for a corner in the near future.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the Niners already have holes defensively. Like, they have a stud. They have a leader at every level of the defense. They have Nick Bosa, right? And you got Fred Warner. And then I'm confident in saying when he's on the field, Lenore is a stud. Like, he's a top, I don't know, 10, top 15 corner in the league, in my estimation. He's really, really good. So they have dudes at every spot. But you got questions, like, alongside each of those dudes. Who's going to be Nick Bosa's running mate? Is Mykal Williams as a rookie going to be good enough? Who the hell is going to play linebacker next to Fred Warner? Is it going to be D. Winters? And is he good enough? And you've got a decent young corner opposite Lenore, right, that they drafted last year. But then also, who is going to play safety for you? You've got guys that are injured and guys that haven't really performed well in their first couple of years. So you have a lot of questions next to your studs. Lenore is one of the studs, and if anything happens to affect his availability, like that would create a major, major hole in the Niners' defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of why they're, you know, a little deck of cards-ish right now. They're very top-heavy. It's one of the reasons why the injuries last year really hurt them.
Yeah,
and while I think they did a good job, they got a lot of depth. You know, you're looking at Renardo Green and Upton Stout, who's their pick, one of their picks this year, who's the nickel right now. So, yeah, that is something to certainly monitor. We'll absolutely update you if we get any more details. But, you know, I was asking you last segment about Devers at first base, and I'm not concerned necessarily, but I do think that it's something you can't rush. Like, the one thing that I don't want to see happen is Devers play first base, perform poorly defensively, and kind of get embarrassed a little bit at a position that he's never played before. The one thing I do think is most certainly going to accompany that, though, I think that Devers will take off offensively once he starts playing the field again. And the reason I believe that is when Devers stunk at the beginning of this season for Boston, a lot of it had to do with the off-the-field stuff, and we discussed that ad nauseum during the trade. But I also think it's because there is something about being in a rhythm as a position player. And Devers wanted to play third base because that's a part of his identity. And I do think that there's just a rhythm and a routine that comes with being an everyday player. And it's something that was stripped from him because of the Red Sox, but also he really struggled to find for the first few weeks of the season. I think that's happening a little bit again in San Francisco. Not the DHing part so much as getting adjusted to a new team, new situation, new park. And I do think that playing first base would unlock, in a way, what he can do at the plate.
So you're not worried at all. You're actually...
I mean, I'm worried about what he's going to be in the field, but I think that...
It might help his bat, like, is what you think.
Yeah, in a way, putting him at first base is going to make him hit better. I know that might sound strange to some, but I think Devers views himself as someone who plays the field. And he had a part of his baseball identity stripped from him this season by the Red Sox. And so it took him some time, and he's dealing with that again now in San Francisco.
That wasn't necessarily something that I had considered, that playing every day in the field might help you get into a rhythm, and maybe that helps you at the plate. But I think that just adds to the way that I feel, because my thought was, you get Devers at first, it kind of clears up a lot of your I don't know, your daily lineup questions, because there's no doubt that Wilmer Flores, despite his struggles, he's still like a top, I don't know, four hitter, five, top five hitter on this club, like by a pretty safe margin. Like, there's a pretty aggressive drop off once you get past Ramos and Devers and Chapman, and you could throw Jung-Hoo Lee and Adames, right, and Wilmer in there. Wilmer is very clearly in that conversation for like one of the five best hitters on this team, and he's been having to play first base of late. And he is a guy that, despite only being, I think, 32, 33 years old, he just can't play the field anymore on any kind of consistent level. And maybe for Wilmer, it's opposite. For Wilmer, just physically, he can't do it anymore. That if you put him out there consistently, that might hurt his bat. And for Devers, maybe the opposite is true. So the way that I view it, even if you don't even consider what you're talking about, like maybe Devers in the field helps him offensively, Devers would have to be so bad defensively for it to be, I think, a net negative because of what he allows Wilmer Flores to do and go back to becoming the everyday DH. I think that's a major, major plus. And I don't foresee Devers being bad enough defensively to outweigh the good that it brings to the lineup.
Yeah, no, and I think that's one of the, not issues, but like immediate kind of concerns I had about the deal. It's that until Devers is ready to play first, and it sounds like he's going to be ready to go sooner than I thought, but you're taking your best bat out of the lineup.
Yeah.
At least before Devers got here. Like, Flores has been probably your most consistent hitter just because Chapman's been hurt, and Lee's been up and down. Willie hasn't been very good. It's probably also an indictment about the offense as a whole.
No
but
doubt.
Wilmer Flores has been your most consistent hitter.
Hasn't been good lately, though. But part of it is maybe because he's playing defensively.
I think it's because he doesn't know when he's hitting. I think it's because him and Dom Smith have to split time, and they're on the back burner. Like, Flores is a guy that, like many athletes, I think hits better when he's in a consistent role. And for much of that season, it's been, all right, you're going to hit against all lefties. You're going to hit against most righties. And for much of the season, he's had to be the DH anyways because you've got nothing at first base. So I just feel like Flores is also adjusting, but the moment that Devers goes to first base, you kind of solve those problems. And RBI isn't a stat that you can really count on, but I do think there is something to Flores with runners in scoring position. He's the guy in a way that until Devers got here, I trusted the most to get a run in because he's had the most consistent professional at-bats of anybody on the team this season. He's not afraid to hit the ball to the other side. He's not afraid to put the ball in the air for a sac fly. He does what the team needs him to, and I think one of the reasons that their offense has pretty much stayed the same is that, yes, Devers hasn't performed well, but also you've kind of taken Flores out of his groove.
Well, and Flores is the only reason the road trip or the homestand wasn't worse, despite his relative struggles of late. He had the pinch hit two-run double in the, what was that, the seventh or eighth inning versus the Guardians after the Giants had lost the first two games of that series.
Mm-hmm.
They had been scoreless up to that point. They were down 1-0. Webb was looking at another gem of an outing, but taking the L. And then Wilmer Flores came up off the bench and drove one down the left field line and scored two, and the Giants ultimately win that game. I think there's a lot of people out there who maybe think Flores is best in that role as a pinch hitter and as a guy who gets an at-bat in a key situation every single game. But the reality of the Giants situation is, even with Devers and even with Chapman and even with an improved Adames, you have to have Flores' bat in the lineup as often as possible because, as you said, he's been arguably your best hitter all season. Specifically, the first 2 months of the season, he was definitely your best hitter. So you have to find a way to put him in a spot where his bat is as effective as possible, and that directly correlates with someone else playing first base. And the only other someone that could be with any kind of consistency, given that the other option for Devers is DH, is Devers. It's the only solution the Giants have to this kind of roster construction issue that they currently are staring at.
Yeah, they are clogged a little bit. And I hear you, 925. Devers freaking stinks. Stop with the excuses.
Oh, come on.
He doesn't stink. Now, he's been stinky.
Devers stinks?
Up until yesterday. It went 3-for-4 yesterday. Like, that's
a real overreaction from the 925. Oh, my God.
Well, that's baseball. That's
he's
what
one
do.
Of the best hitters the Giants have had in, like, 20 years.
Yeah, but this is where, okay, like, I get that Devers is the best bat they've had in 20... I think Posey's better, but that's fine. He's a different kind of hitter. I think Posey's a better overall hitter than Devers. Devers is not a guy that is going to, like, suddenly wholesale change your offense, in my opinion. He's a great piece, but you look up and down that Red Sox lineup that, to the Giants' credit, they just took 2 of 3 from. Like, you see where he makes them all that much better. I think that Devers right now is kind of in a position where he's like, he's going to get pitched to tougher than anybody else. You can pitch around him. You don't have to throw to him. And in a way, it's like he's a sacrificial offensive piece so everybody else can perform better. Hitters in front of him are going to get better pitches. I think that because he can get on base, like, guys behind him are going to hit with more runners in scoring position, more difficult positions for pitchers. But he himself, like, he doesn't benefit at all. And in fact, the trade might hurt him from that standpoint because there's not a lot of guys around him outside of Ramos that are going to demand you to throw to him.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I don't think anyone would argue that the Giants have a better lineup than the Red Sox do. The Red Sox have been, like, top 10 in the league in terms of, like, runs scored A lot of that was thanks to Devers, but even if you just take Devers off of both teams, what's the better lineup? The Giants without Devers or the Red Sox without Devers? Probably the Red Sox without Devers. But when you get Chapman back, then you could trot out a lineup of something like, I don't know, I tend to think you want Adames hitting ahead of Devers because it gives Adames some protection, and I think that's the best way to go about things right now. So you could go Adames 2, Devers 3, and then you go Ramos 4, Chapman 5. Like, I know Ramos and Chapman aren't Betts and Freeman for the Dodgers, but that's decent protection. Ramos and Chapman behind Devers? That's not bad. Now, you get past that, and you're looking at the Wilmer Floreses and the Casey Schmitz of the world and the Mike Yastrzemskis, or maybe Yaz is batting leadoff, and you have Jung Hoo Lee down there. But the Giants could do a whole lot worse behind Devers than Ramos and Chapman in some order. That's not terrible protection.
It's not great. Like, maybe you're higher on Chapman than I am, and I think Chapman has good power. Like, Chapman is a solid home run hitter. That's why his OPS is above 800. But he's not a great hitter. And I don't think that he's going to drastically boost this offense. Maybe I'm wrong. I think his biggest contribution is being a guy that ideally plays every day, gives you gold glove defense at third base, you know, makes it easier on your shortstop, and has the ability to hit the ball out of the park, which not many people on this team do. Like, the only guys on this team right now that have 20 home run ability are Chapman, Devers, Ramos, maybe Adames.
You don't feel great about that right now, but I wouldn't be shocked if he gets to 20.
Yeah. And again, it's like, if you're hitting 20 home runs, that's great. But if you're a 230, 240 hitter, that's not someone that I look at in your lineup and say, all right, that's a major threat. Like, that's probably why Chapman, on a lot of teams that he's been on, he kind of hits fifth. Like, he's not usually in the heart of that order, unless he was in one of his career years in Oakland.
I think he's hitting fifth in this lineup. I think Devers 3, Ramos 4, Chapman 5, when everyone's healthy. And then Flores 6.
So you have Adames hitting second.
Adames 2, yeah.
Oof. I mean, honestly, I think the biggest hole in their lineup, like watching the last week, it's your leadoff spot.
They don't have a leadoff hitter.
They don't.
They've been trying everybody. They tried Ramos there. They tried Jung Hoo Lee there. Now they're trying Yaz there. Yaz has actually been decent of late, but it's clear they don't feel good about any of their options there, and they're just going with whoever is hot in the moment.
Yeah, like Yaz going back to the leadoff spot does send me back a little bit to like 2022, 2023.
It does kind of feel like
2024 because it just felt like they also could, like, the teams the last 3 years couldn't find a leadoff guy, and then they basically just rode the hot hand, or the analytical hand,
yeah,
of a guy who actually is now the AGM of the team that just swept you.
Shout out Gabe Kapler.
Gabe Kapler was looking fly this
showing up in a white suit at Oracle Park. I'm a little shocked, though, what we got coming through on the text line. You mentioned the text from the 925 saying Devers freaking stinks. And the 925 added, he's the best bat here, not one of the best. The 707 has added, he's Solaire 2.0. I know this is just two opinions from the 925 and the 707, but I am shocked reading that. I am absolutely astounded. Are you kidding me? This is how people feel about Rafael Devers? We're almost two weeks in, and he's hit a couple of home runs. And we're convinced that he's Solaire 2.0? That is crazy.
Well, he hasn't hit very well.
Okay, it's 2 weeks of a baseball season.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's Solaire. Well, if he's 2021 Solaire, that'd be great when he was the World Series MVP. But I think a lot of people are feeling let down by the immediate returns of Rafael Devers. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, you would have hoped that he would be a little better through his first however many games it's been, 12 games, 11 games, whatever it is. You hope to be a little bit better, but I'm not making any rash decisions on who he is as a player through this stretch.
No, he's
consistently been one of the best hitters in baseball the last like 5 years.
Yeah, he doesn't stink. He's also batted for a team that is much better than the Giants offense. I also think that, like, Devers at the end of the day, you put your best hitter, in the two hole. And that's where he's going to have to hit. And then you got to figure out everybody else. Like, the Giants are a bit handicapped by the fact that they've gotten largely nothing from three spots. One of which is your leadoff hitter, and the second would be your second baseman and your catcher. So really, like, your 8, 9, and 1 spots in your lineup have given you not much, if not anything, for the majority of the season. And by the way, there's still 7 games above 500.
And by the way, you kind of feel that way also going forward, right? Like, what do you expect out of second base the rest of the year? What do you expect out of, right field the rest of the year? And what do you expect out of your catcher the rest of the year?
Not much.
Can't expect much from any of those guys, any of those spots. There's a reality where Casey Schmidt, once Chapman comes back, is your everyday second baseman, which seems most likely. And he's been swinging the bat a lot better of late, but doesn't mean he's going to keep it up. He had a hot stretch, I remember, a couple of years ago. And then he reverted back to the guy that most of us think of him, think of who he is. But maybe he's turned a corner, and that turns out to be a whole lot better. But I don't know how much you can expect from your catcher, from right field and second base. You can't possibly expect a lot. You have to go into the rest of the season, the second half. You've played 81 games. The final 81, you have to go into it expecting not to get really much contribution from that portion of the lineup. And if that's the case, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Your pitching staff is going to have to continue pitching well, or your third baseman, first baseman, DH, shortstop, left fielder are going to have to just absolutely tear the cover off the ball for this to be even an average offense.
Yeah, and that's why the last week was really disappointing, or the last 2 weeks, because you hoped that Devers would be a jolt, much in the way you hoped that hitting a guy yesterday would be a jolt, and instead you're kind of left with egg on your face. Like, I think that the Giants they got a very beatable team coming up in the White Sox, and ideally like a get-right series, but that's the thing. Like, the Marlins were supposed to be a get-right series. Even Cleveland, I know that they're a better team than Miami, but they were 500. They hadn't won, the Cleveland Guardians had not won a series since May, coming into that series that they would have won the first two against the Giants.
And they very easily could have swept that series, by the way.
Exactly. So the Giants right now are stuck in a rut. And while they're in a pretty decent position, I just feel like the taste that they're leaving in people's mouths is one of, we were talking about it yesterday, but like getting your mouth washed out with soap. The Giants are 7 games above 500, but their offense looks shaky. I think, to me, the most daunting part about the second half is that their starting pitching looks shaky, and unless Posey goes out and does something, or perhaps Carson Seymour, who was called up earlier today, gives you a massive boost, we're going to be doing this the whole season. And I just feel like we're still going to wonder how good this team actually is, and that was a question that Devers, in a perfect world, was supposed to answer.
I don't want to overreact to this stretch, and the Giants are 3-8 in their last 11. And since the Devers trade was announced, they're 3-7. Games in which Devers has played, they're 3-6. I don't want to go crazy over that small of a sample size, but I am frankly really, really surprised some of the opinions that we're hearing. I still would be deeply, deeply disappointed if this team, no major changes made, if they miss the postseason. Like, I would be deeply frustrated and disappointed if this team were to miss the postseason. You might not feel the same way, but I am shocked what I'm seeing on our YouTube chat and on our text line right now about confidence in this group. Like, you know how we felt 2 weeks ago when this trade was announced? 12 days ago, Giants fans were on the freaking moon. And 11 games later, 10 games later, we're thinking like this team can't even make the postseason with 3 wild card spots?
I'm so upset!
Are you kidding me? That's crazy to me.
You did say it was the lowest point.
Right. Because expectations are now high.
And that's actually something I want to talk to you about the other side, because that to me is what set up the feeling of today. The feeling of the last 3 days, honestly, is this idea of expectations and the San Francisco Giants, who just completed their 81st game. They're halfway done. They're 7 games above 500, half a game out of the wild card, and in third place in a very good NL West. All right, coming up at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries take on Angel Reese in the Chicago Sky. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Download the app and search Valkyries. Evan Giddings, Mark Randy in for Steiny and Guru. Steiny's off on vacation. He'll be back Tuesday. Guru hopefully back on Monday. Shouts out to you. All right, from the ballpark to wine country, summer's better when your car is ready to roll. Valvoline Instant Oil Change gets you in and out in about 15 minutes. No appointment needed for locations and coupons. Visit burialoilchange.com. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.